Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is Terrible Tommy, Tom Metzger, right here in the bunker, right here in north central Indiana, right next to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern and Filling Station and Steakhouse. And that's right next to our Weapons of Mass Destruction Equipment Yard, where we're selling them out here like you wouldn't believe. Those big tank-type equipment and all that kind of heavy equipment stuff going all over the country. I guess people are expecting some kind of occupation here. Maybe the Israeli IDF's coming in here to occupy us. So anyhow, it is July the 24th, 2014, Thursday. Yeah, this is Thursday, and you don't have many days left in July to get her done, man. So if you got a plan, you better start implementing it pretty fast, because you're running out of July and there's not going to be another 2014 July. Never going to be, man. Okay? All right. Nice day here in the Midwest. Sun's out right away, first thing in the morning. I don't think there's many clouds in the sky and a whole bit, and it's cool. Yeah, it's down around in the 60s. It's really nice. You know, normally in July and August, it's going to be humid and hot around here, but not this year. I love it. Well, I'm telling you, tuning in on the old web last night on web radio and looking around, some interesting stuff, but I'll tell you, they're spending a hell of a lot of time on homosexuals, sports figures, you know. Normally, if it's just some guy that works at McDonald's, they don't pay much attention, but they get all excited when a football player that's, you know how those quarterbacks are, where they get right up behind the guy in the line, and they got their hands right there between his legs. So some of the boys get a little excited. Some of them don't care. However, being mostly black, I don't see where it makes too much difference to them, because the rate of homosexuality in the prison is about 85%. So homosexuality is one of the best-kept secrets, I think, in the black community, even though they'll call in to radio shows like Madison, and they call him the Black Eagle. So I tune into these black shows now and then, pick up a lot of interesting information. He has a hell of a time with his black callers, because they're mostly blacks calling in. I called in once. He treated me okay. But they call in there, and they get all excited on their point, and they try to talk over him, and then he tries to talk over them, and pretty soon it's screaming and yelling. And the problem is, most of the black callers that call in are not too well educated, and they don't use the best verbiage, and they're very emotional, you know, like kids, like teenagers, you know, guys 40, 50 years old still sound like teenagers when they're in a discussion. And Joe Madison, he's the black intellectual man, and he is a smart guy. I don't know how black he is. Maybe he's black like Obama. I don't know. But anyhow, he gets exasperated with these people. He tries to get them, now you talk, and now I'll talk, and then you talk, and I'll talk. But it don't work that way. It don't work that way. They try to overtalk him all the time. But anyhow, what's with this big deal about the homosexuals? You know, I think we have to go back to basics here. Obviously, the world didn't get to where it's at, whether it's good or bad, because of homosexuals one way or the other. However, let's go back to basics. In our tribal beginnings, I would assume that we all pretty much agree on that. That every person in the tribe had to contribute in many ways, otherwise the tribe would go out of existence and starve to death and the whole bit. So I look at it this way. Now, if you're back in the old days, whether you're a Viking or whether you're an American so-called Indian tribe, if you had one male in the group that was homosexual, that limited the breeding of the tribe. I mean, you have to have kids to keep the tribe going. And so, you know, if a guy didn't have an arm, that would inhibit him quite a bit to hunting and gathering, but he could survive and still contribute. Now, of course, a homosexual can go out there and hunt and gather, in many cases, just as much as any other guy, probably. But when it comes to reproduction, the tribe, I think, would look very askance at a homosexual who is not being fruitful and multiplying for the tribe to survive. What do you think about that? In other words, let's use logic. Now, the second thing is, how come in just the last 20 years, I think, you know, all of a sudden we have this massive number of homosexuals? Now, don't tell me they all were in the closet before. We didn't have a closet that big. Now, where were all these homosexuals before? All of a sudden, it's homosexual activity or life. They call it lifestyle, putting the penis in the anus. But anyhow, what's going on here? Well, I think, now this is my opinion, and we all have one, just like we have you know what. I think if you read the book Sugar Blues, and I've mentioned this before, sugar is a drug. It's a type of a drug. And not only has sugar contributed to the slavery of millions of people, even more than cotton, and the blacks should be definitely against the sugar trade, but because that has caused more slavery than anything else. So anyhow, I submit to you that in that book, and if I can find it, I'll read it to you. I know it's here someplace, unless I've sent it off. I sent a lot of books out to people, just freebies. But anyhow, every civilization, it's stated in this book, every civilization that has gotten into heavy use of sugar has fallen. Their military has gotten weakened, and so forth and so on. So I'm of the opinion that the massive use of sugar not only, of course, leads to obesity and all kinds of other problems, but I think it's got something to do with this homosexuality, that the male gets sedated so much with sugar that for some reason either genetically somehow it changes them or what else, you know? What do you think about that? I'm sure there's a lot of other people has. The problem is you're not supposed to come out in the public and say anything like that. So the research on why homosexuals are homosexuals is almost like it's a horrible crime to even talk about it. But it's becoming a very important part of the culture. Now, if the culture is the leadership of the culture, or the race is taken over by the homosexual ethic, homosexual idea, I think you got a really big problem, almost as big as race mixing. That's my opinion. Now, to go farther with that, now do I get all upset and excited if there's a homosexual happens to be in a restaurant or a bar or someplace where I may happen to be? Well, no, I don't, because most homosexuals are not these flamboyant, feminine acting types. Most homosexuals, in fact, a large percentage of homosexuals, you don't know they're homosexuals unless they tell you or start grabbing your butt. So anyhow, they've been all over the place for ever since probably time begun, I guess. I don't know, unless they came here from another part of the galaxy. Phagotonia, maybe, the planet of Phagotonia. And they figured some other way to reproduce other than male-female or something. Maybe on the planet Phagotonia, they're unisex. Some animals are that way and some insects are that way. They carry both. And then, of course, a hermaphrodite has both the male and the female. I wonder if a hermaphrodite, I'm not pronouncing it just right, but anyway, I wonder if one of those ever had a baby that had a penis. I don't know. I'm sure there's some strange things have happened. But anyhow, another problem we have is, and I keep talking about it, is overpopulation. Overpopulation and then a mixed cultural, ethnic, racial population leads to confusion and all the time upset about this and that and this and that, whereas a stable cultural civilization, racial civilization, usually, well, they have, problems, big problems, but they don't have as many, let's put it this way. But now with all these different arguable points about homosexual or not homosexual, or homosexual football player, I could care less whether they're all homosexual myself, because I don't pay any attention to football or basketball or baseball, to be perfectly honest. But anyhow, it's I think a lot of it is tied to diet, and a lot of it is tied to population. And that's something we got to support Mother Nature. And Mother Nature's never wrong. It may not Mother Nature may not benefit you and me every time, you like when a tsunami comes in and washes our ass out to sea, but in the long run, nature keeps things in balance. And it's only man and his economic programs and so forth, and his religious fanaticism and craziness that gets everything out of whack. So what do you think about that? Give me some feedback, baby. I know we got opinionated people out there. I get some feedback, but I don't think I get enough feedback. A lot of people just sit out there and say, well, yeah, I agree, sort of, maybe I disagree, but I ain't going to say anything. Well, you can say anything. You can try to offend me all you want. You know, we got some guy running around. I call him Sledgehammer. I guess his name is Sledge. And all of a sudden, you know, I did a show with this guy. I shouldn't even mention his name because I don't like to do that. When somebody attacks me, usually I just ignore them. But anyhow, I did a show with him, and all of a sudden I'm hearing on the internet that he's going around saying nasty things about old Terrible Tommy. That I saw one thing they said, I'm a fraud. Well, what do you mean a fraud? I wish somebody would explain. You know, they say you're a fraud. What exactly do you mean a fraud? So I did like I usually do and finally pull out a dictionary here. I always like to do that when there's a term and everybody's throwing it around and it seems to be not necessarily understood. Now, fraud in my dictionary says deceit, a trick, number one. So he's saying I'm deceitful. Okay, but I had seen no evidence or even exactly what he means by I'm deceitful. Number two, dishonest practice. Well, I don't think anybody can find anything dishonest about my practice. It surely isn't defrauding people out of money. And I'm not trying to defraud you ideologically. I'm trying to tell you the truth. Breach of confidence. Well, there was never any confidence between this guy and me. No contracts, no deals. And finally, the last is a cheat. Well, I don't cheat people, and, you know, I don't cheat on my lady, and I never cheated on my first wife and all that, and I don't play cards, so I don't cheat at that. So, anyhow, that's the problem you get into when you just get on the internet and flap your gums and say, he's a fraud. Well, come on, give me evidence. Give me evidence. But anyhow, we'll move on from there because, you know, anybody that's out in the open is a good target. And I've had this kind of stuff, especially in the right wing, for ever since I've been involved or people got to know who I was or my name, you know. So anyhow, we'll go on from there and I'll see if I can defraud you today. Yes, one announcement here, boys and girls. Right after I do this show and send it out, I got the new equipment for the new server in yesterday, and so I'll be changing it out. Now, if everything goes right and not Murphy's Law, I'll be back on no problem this afternoon. But if something goes haywire, well, She-Wolf of Southern California, Merchandise Resist yahoo.com. We'll probably send out a older show or something like that. So don't panic. I'll be back. Well, I see another victim of right-wing stupidity. Or is it big balls in Texas or whatever? Ted Nugent, you know, he's the rock and roller who's been straight out with his racial views. And he's gotten a lot of publicity, and of course, they're going after him big time. Of course, they're going to. That is the whole game. If you come out and say you're proud to be white or say anything negative about a nigger, they're going to dogpile you. You know that. I know that. And the only way that I can ever see it turning around is to where some big, big stars just say, fuck you, that's my opinion, and that's all you're going to get. And you still may lose your career. Ted Nugent won't be rocking an Idaho casino next month, and he only has himself and his racist views to blame. This, of course, is a race-mixing son of a bitch that wrote this. The Coeur d'Alene Tribe of the American Indians announced that Nugent's August 4th show at the tribe-owned Coeur d'Alene Casino has been canceled because of Nugent's racist opinions and attitudes and views. Well, we feel the same way about you, you Mongol sons of bitches. Too bad that sort of a stain on the memory of Richard Butler to have lived and contributed to the community of Coeur d'Alene. Now it's a home base for a lot of rich Jews, and they've got their little Mongol tribe there that they can say, oh, we love everybody. All the hypocrites in the world. Also, there's a slew of ex-cops from L.A. moved up that way. Talk about a pit full of hypocrites. Quote, we adamantly do not want our casino to be used as a venue for the racist attitudes and views that Ted Nugent espouses. Laura Stensgar, the casino's executive director of marketing, said in a post on the CDA Casino Facebook page. Unfortunately, when we booked him, we were looking at him from an entertainment perspective. Not that he could have any personal opinions. God, are you kidding? In America? As an 80s rock and roller who we thought folks might enjoy. We take the comments and concerns of our community very seriously, and we apologize to anyone who was offended by the idea that we would promote these kinds of attitudes. We will do our best to avoid such mistakes and move forward. Of course, it's got nothing to do with any of all that. It's simply pressure from people who probably never go into a casino in their life that want to pressure them not to have him. Well, I would say this. It's a bad thing that he wants to play for the Mongols. I think it's an insult to the white race that Ted Nugent would consider playing for the wagon burners. Earlier this year, Nugent made headlines when he referred to President Obama as a subhuman mongrel. Well, I don't know about subhuman, but he's sure a mongrel. I don't know what's... I've never understood quite what subhuman... Wait a minute. I'm going to get my goddamn dictionary out here again. Well, according to my... 99-cent dictionary, there is no such word in that dictionary as subhuman. I got subnormal, which means below par, but in my dictionary, and I didn't get out my big thick one, it didn't say anything about subhuman, so we'll just accept that he called him a mongrel, which is definitely true. I mean, it's amazing how you keep telling the truth and people jump all over you and say you're a bad person. It says here, subhuman was a term used by slave owners and Nazis to justify genocide and slavery. I think that's an oversimplification if I ever seen one. I think it's just a word dreamed up and thrown around by a lot of people, just as an insult. Well, so what? You can insult the president. He insults us all the time. He was also visited by the Secret Service in 2012 after saying that he would either be dead or in jail if President Obama was reelected. Oh, my. Secret Service. Probably the Secret Service hate Obama worse than Ted Nugent does. But they're getting too excited, as far as I'm concerned, over Obama. He's on his way out. I mean, you know, he is what he is. And now if the Republicans want to throw Nugent under the bus, which they'll always do that. Say, oh, well, yeah, but we're not like him. The Coeur d'Alene tribe has always been about human rights. Well, first of all, I would debate the word human, and I would debate the word rights as rights not existing. Didn't the Indians have inalienable rights back when we were kicking their ass, killing them? They say we killed millions of them. What the hell did their rights do for them? For decades, we have worked individually and as a tribe to make sure that each and every person is treated equally and with respect and dignity, said Chief James Allen, chairman of the Coeur d'Alene tribe. Well, that's bullshit, because I know about these Indian tribes, or any tribe, but anyhow, the Indians don't treat each other equally. That's bullshit, because there's stupid ones, and there's smart ones, and there's fat ones, and there's skinny ones, and there's dumb ones, and there's smart ones. And there's nobody discriminates against each other any more than the wagon burners. I know that for a fact. Quote, we know that it's like what it's like to be target of hateful messages, and we would never want to perpetuate hate in any way, unquote. What about you Indians or you Mongols' hatred of Craig Cobb? I mean, you hated him. You drove him out of Leith, North Dakota. It wasn't because you loved him, did you? No, you hated him. Why don't you come out and admit it? People hate somebody, just say, I hate him. No problem. Or I dislike him. Hate comes in many levels. In 2009, Nugent was asked to tone down his weekly opinion column in the Waco Tribune Herald, when the paper's new owners wanted to cut down on name-calling and provide thoughtful and civil, unquote, editorials. That's newspeak. Thoughtful and civil. In other words, you know, don't tell the whole truth. Water it down. Lie. Or whatever. Quote, so I get this spineless, soulless, anti-American email from Carlos Sanchez, new editor of the Waco Tribune, listing new rules for my weekly Sunday feature, telling me I can't criticize anybody. Well, you can criticize all you want if you criticize the right people. Or you could write a column criticizing me every week, and they'd say you're wonderful. And then they said, you can only recommend things, can't have any negativity, only cute niceness, he wrote in response. After getting fired from the paper, Nugent used a Nazi reference and compared himself to the likes of Thomas Paine, George Washington, Martin Luther King Jr. in an email to the press. I have no sympathy for Nugent. He had the money, he had the ability to really get into this thing and support the white race. I mean, really do it and fund some operations that got things done. Maybe even start his own newspaper or whatever. No, these guys don't learn. No matter, even if they are closet racist and barroom racist, they never learn. And so, unless he makes a really, really big changing himself, he's going to be of no use to us. When I say us, I mean the race. I mean the Aryan part of the race. Like I said many times before, they dogpile guys like this as a message to everybody else to keep their mouth shut. No matter who comes out and says it, even the Jew in Las Vegas, or the Jew someplace else, or the Jew with the football or basketball teams, anybody says anything, they're going to dogpile them. And that, the reason for that is to say, hey, the rest of you people out there, keep your goddamn mouth shut, or we'll dogpile you too. We'll kill your career, we'll kill your job, we'll cause your wife to leave you and your dog to bite you in the ass as you leave. Him saying that he compared himself to George Washington and Martin Luther King Jr. Shit. Martin Luther King Jr. That shows how stupid he is. He wants to be compared with Martin Luther King. Well, looks like a white guy up in Chicago's in big trouble. A 55-year-old Chicago man is under arrest and accused of slapping and spitting in the face of a groundbreaking judge. Groundbreaking judge? In a racist attack outside a city courthouse. Judge Arnett Hubbard was reportedly smoking a cigarette outside the landmark Daily Center when she walked past David Niskosia, who became upset that she was smoking near him and trying to give him cancer, and began arguing with the judge. Quote, Rosa Parks, move, quote unquote, he allegedly told the judge before spitting in her face. Hubbard called for assistance and followed Niskosia as he walked away, but he then turned and apparently spit at her again before slapping Hubbard across the face. Of course, Hubbard's a Negroid woman. Sheriff's deputies arrested Niskosia, who's been charged with 4 counts of aggravated battery and a hate crime. Bail was set at $90,000 for spitting on a nigger. Quote, she's pretty shaken up about it, said Geraldine Simmons, a friend and fellow attorney who spoke with Hubbard after the incident. Quote, I can't even begin to imagine what she's going through psychologically. It's the end of her life. She's probably going to die. How do you recover from something like that? Well, you just take your handkerchief and wipe off your face, give him the finger, and walk the other way. The 79-year-old Hubbard was the first woman elected president of the National Bar Association, a bigger bunch of crooks you'll never find, and of the Cook County Bar Association. And she's credited with opening the doors for women in male-dominated legal field. She's also a longtime civil rights and women's equality advocate and worked on several civil rights cases early in her legal career. Well, that means that she's royalty. She's an icon in our community, said Dolores Robinson, past president of the Cook County Bar Association. People of good common sense and decency, people of good hearts, should be outraged by this. What do you mean? Smoking and blowing her smoke into the poor guy's face? Not just because of who she is, but that this could happen to anybody. If you go up and blow your smoke in somebody's face, they're liable to call your name and spit on you because they don't want cancer. Hubbard was reelected to her third 6-year term as a county judge in 2010. She's also served as on Chicago's election board. An attorney for Niskosia, the owner and president of an IT company, said the incident didn't happen the way prosecutors have explained it, and he's seeking surveillance footage from Daily Plaza. Niskosia does not have any previous convictions on his record. But I'll tell you one thing, if he's got a lot of money and he's got a company, he's going to go into court and plead
I'll never do it again, man. I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. They can blow smoke in my face all day long, and I won't do anything.
Here's a earth-shaking, important story, man. It has the fate of the world in their hands. Football fans might hear CBS commentators calling the Washington football team the Redskins on the air. Or they might not. With pressure mounting for team owner Daniel Snyder to change the team's name, of course, we don't want it called by any filthy Mongol title. We want it to have something like the Romans or Centurions or something like that, or Saxons or Vikings. Yeah, don't want any filthy Indian names. 50 U.S. senators have called for the team name to change. And the U.S. Patent Office canceled the team's trademark because it is disparaging to Mongol Americans. CBS Sports Chairman Sean McManus said that the network is not going to force its play-by-play callers and analysts to refer to the team by its name, but it also isn't going to ban it either. Well, you know what they'll do. They'll be so afraid to say Redskins, they'll probably say Niggerskins. Generally speaking, we do not tell our announcers what to say, or not to say. McManus called the Hollywood Reporter, unquote, or quote, up to this point, it has not been a big issue for us. Last year it was simmering. Now it's reaching a hotter level. Well, I suggested a long time ago, maybe 10 years ago when this started coming up, change all the names to white names, Aryan names, European names. Don't put these Indian names on this shit. In fact, every city in the United States, it has an Indian name, and most of them have Indian names. We got to change them. And when the day comes when we're back in the saddle, they all will be. There won't be any so-called shitskins names on the cities in this country. Quote, but we will probably not end up dictating to our announcers whether they say Redskins or don't say Redskins. You see how silly this all gets? It becomes so ludicrous, so ridiculous that, I mean, we're the laughing stock of the world, European countries. We leave that up to them and our production team. There are times when something becomes important enough that we talk to them. And between now and the start of the football season, we'll decide what's the right thing to do. In other words, we'll check with the ADL and the NAACP and these people and ask them what we should do. And whatever they decide, we'll do. But wait a minute. Maybe they want to call them the Blackskins because most of the players are black, aren't they? Yeah, the Blackskins, and that would be accurate, you know, be more accurate than Redskins, I guess. And the National Football League is not going to force the network's hand either way. Quote, we don't dictate to our broadcast partners how they cover the game, except behind the scenes. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell confirmed to Entertainment Weekly. CBS, which already pays the league $1 billion a year in broadcast rights and fees, is paying an additional $275 million for the rights to the broadcast 8 Thursday night football games starting this year. The deal gives the network the rights to air games hosted by AFC teams. Washington plays in the NFC. Well, I bet you won't find many of those announcers that are going to continue to use Redskin, even though they say it's okay. Because the Redskins are a powerful people in this country. These Mongol Indian tribes are so big and so powerful, they're liable to do something crazy, like declare war. Well, I've told you before, as far as I'm concerned, every Indian nation that's in the United States should be respected as a sovereign nation but also they must carry passports to come out into Aryan society, and that they must be prepared to pay tariffs and taxes, and they're going to have to pay a lot of money for having those casinos on their reservations, and it'll be levied in a form of a tax when they come out into the white community, what's left of it. So you can play it both ways. We should be sovereign as a white nation. Our white tribal nation, we're sovereign. You bastards, when you come out here, you better have your passport in order. Well, up against the wall, baby. And we'll shoot you with arrows just for fun. Oh, happy day. The executive director of Reaching Out MBA and LGBT organization says that some business schools have started encouraging heterosexual students to attend its conference and job fair. Matt Kidd told Bloomberg Businessweek that Rice University's Jones Graduate School of Business sent a party of 15 students to reach out to MBA's 2013 conference, only one of whom was openly homosexual. Quote, he was forced to go around introducing himself as an actual homosexual guy, so he didn't get around filled with the rest of the, so he didn't get round filed with the rest of the school students, Kidd said. Well, it sounds like they're discriminating in favor of the homosexual. I can't believe it. Kidd also said the officials of the College of William and Mary Mason School of Business last year told its students to skip the conference and just attend a career fair. It's largely done by schools who can't get companies on their campus, Kidd said. Well, now they'll get all kinds of companies on their campus now that they got all these homosexuals and cross-gendered and all that kind of stuff. Of the 1,100 registered attendees to last year's conference, 10% identified as being heterosexual. During his presentation at the Graduate Management Admissions Council's conference, in June, Kidd said that this trend is becoming offensive to the LGBT students because they've heard comments such as, "Dude," and "I'm not gay," and, quote, "there's a need to be less focused on homosexual stuff at this event," unquote. Kidd said that they're reaching out to the, they want to be homosexuals, but they don't want to be referred to as homosexuals. Not even gay? These people are insane. Kidd says that they're reaching out, MBA does not want to exclude allies, but in order to better screen attendees, it will ask students to write about why they are interested in attending or have them sign up through the campus LGBT group. Some educators don't share kids' concern. Quote, "there are recruiters there who are happy to talk to anyone that's talented, no matter where they put their penis," says Chiquita Allen, executive director of the Career Management Center at William and Mary's Mason School. Quote, "most people won't have enough money to go to college anyhow. They'd be going to become virtual slaves for the rest of their life just to pay off their college fees." Quote, "the idea of those groups is to ensure inclusiveness, not to say, quote, we only want LGBT people," unquote. Don't want any of those straights. Don't want any of those heterosexuals. Blah. Manny Gonzalez, CEO of the National Society of Mestizo MBAs, said that 37% of the students who attended the organization's conference last year were not mestizo. Quote, "we live in a diverse, mixed up, fucked up world. So whether you go to the Fortune 500 company or a mid-sized business, you'll be engaged in a diverse, race-mixed, fucked-up workforce," he says. Quote, the more exposure as the students you have in these communities, the more you learn. Yeah, you learn all kinds of sexual things, how to catch AIDS, how to die of AIDS, how to catch other things. Yeah, you're going to learn a lot of stuff, man. I bet old Alex Jones is having a meltdown over some of this shit. I love to see them when they get all red in the face and they're about ready to pass out. But don't worry, boys and girls. Mother Nature's going to take care of this kind of a problem. Yeah, I know you're anxious and you want it to happen right now, but believe me, these people, they're fools going down a fool's road to a fool's paradise. Oh, yes, and the Prez just signed an executive order barring LGBT workforce discrimination. Okay. That's going to be interesting on the construction sites and so forth. Okay. Like I told this outfit, I sent them a little email. I said, don't worry about it. Mother Nature will straighten all this out another few decades. In the meantime, have some popcorn and enjoy the insanity. And this other heterosexual NFL coach, they say a homophobic coach gets a 3-game suspension. I guess he said queer or something. Who knows? Despite an independent panel confirming the accusations from former Vikings punter LGBT advocate Chris Clue, assistant coach Mike Prefer can have his suspension shortened by a game if he attends additional sensitivity training and learns exactly how to be a sexual deviant. And then he'll have to go on a sabbatical, practice it for a few months, and then come back, and if he is approved, the LGBT people will let him be a football guy again. Well, according to the latest news, just in the last few months, 5,000 Jews have fled their favorite country, or one of their favorite countries outside the United States, from France, headed to Israel. Now tell me how that's going to work. Thousands of more Jews moving into Israel, which is going to make lack of housing even more critical. And a lot of people don't realize that there is a poor class of Jews in Israel and the pressure on them because the rich Jews import all these niggers and everybody else to clean their toilets. And so now all these more Jews are going to go down there, which will more piss off the Islamics there in Palestine. And then the Islamics in Palestine will try harder to kick the shit out of the new Jews coming to Israel. Oh, happy day. It's going to be something else. Ever ask yourself why Charles Manson and Sirhan Sirhan are still in prison, while George Bush Jr. and Dick Cheney and Obama and all these big shots are responsible for the killing of hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people for no other reason than for capital gain? You know, it's unbelievable. I mean, well, it's believable because it's happening. But there you go. If you kill enough people, you know, now, if Hitler would have just killed other people, he'd have been all right. It's the Jew thing that got him in trouble. Yeah. Just one afterthought on that, the Mongol thing and these tribes, tribalism. I wonder if there's any evidence of the possibility of homosexuals in the tribes back in the, you know, 18th century, 17th century. I doubt it. I'll bet you if they found out some guy was a homosexual, they'd kill him. But I don't think there probably were any natural homosexuals in those tribes. Anybody got any information on that? There must be a book about it. Homos in the Redskins tribe. Not whether I told you this yesterday, but Mother Nature's on the move again. Bubonic plague has broken out, at least among one person, maybe two, in China. Bubonic plague on the march again. Another point on the news about this deal of this passenger plane being shot down or coming down over in eastern Ukraine. You know, we had the Gulf of Tonkin, and we had the Lusitania, we had the battleship Maine and Havana, we had all kinds of this stuff. This sort of reminds me of that story that the Soviets tried to sell when they murdered several thousand Polish officers and soldiers during World War II, the Katyn Forest Massacre, and then tried to blame the Germans for it. And luckily they got in there with the forensics, the Germans did, and proved it wasn't them. But this is the kind of stuff that goes on all the time. And it's going to be interesting how this comes out. But you always have to reserve your opinions until all the facts are in. And that may be 20 years from now. Famous quotes. Senior Border Patrol agent says, immigrants, or what we call invaders, have deadly diseases we haven't seen in years. You know, churches are great for sooner or later falling in line, and because something gets so-called popular. The churches do that all the time. You know, whoever heard of rock and roll in a church when I was a kid, and other things like that. But anyhow, the Mormons, Latter-day Saints, yep, the Mormon Church now welcomes homosexuals. On a Sunday afternoon morning in April, more than two dozen men, women, and children marched up Central Avenue on the final stretch of the Pride Parade. The pro-gay march has taken place in Phoenix every year since 1981, but it's the first time this particular group has joined the thousands of people celebrating a Lady Gaga hit blast from the speakers of a nearby multicolored Volkswagen bus. But this is not really a Lady Gaga kind of group. These people stand out mostly because of their outfits. The men wear slacks, shirts, and ties, and the women wear dresses. In fact, they look as if they're on their way to church, and that would not be a bad guess. The crowd along the parade route gasps and hollers, reading the group's banner, Mormons Building Bridges. Other signs that declare that God loves all his children and Mormons' heart. And God loves all his children and Mormons' heart, LGBT. The members, friends, and families of All Arizona, a local support group for homosexual members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Crazies, reached the end of the parade route at the Steele Indian School Park. It's there that they encountered another religious group holding banners that condemn homosexuality and surrounded by a fence that separates them from the festival goers. The protesters hurl insults. All Arizona members, John Abdu and his mother Meg, are the first to notice the picketers. They approach them, and John, a tall, blonde, 14-year-old, in a rainbow-colored bow tie, tries to hand one of the protesters a sign that reads, Love one another, Jesus, unquote. The protester won't even look at the boy. The sign lands on the ground next to the protester's shoes. As his mother looks on proudly, John Abhu simply smiles and walks away. But you see, starts out these, you know, the conservative elements of these churches always resist for a while. And gradually they cave in, and pretty soon it's accepted because it's popular. You know, and no matter what it is. Next, it'll be marrying your dog.
There'll be big demonstrations against it, but they'll gradually go away and you can marry your dog. That's the way it works. That's about it for today. I got to get out of here and see if I can change out this equipment and make it work with the new server. So, 14.5, and watch out. The crazies are everywhere. They're insane, man. Stay out of their way, man. Okay, 14.5.
It's a big job getting by with 9 kids and a wife. Yeah, but I've been a working man danger all my life, and I'll keep on working long as my 2 hands are fit to you. Drink my beer at a tavern and try a little bit of them working man blues. Well, I keep my nose on the grind, don't work hard every day. Get tired on the weekend, that's about for the pay, but I go back working to buy my kids a brand new pair of shoes. Drink a little beer that evening, sing a little bit of them working man blues. Well, sometimes they can be and they're a little bumming around. Well, the bills at the vendor can't spend plain to eat another town, but they go back working. Monday morning, I'm right back with the crew, Lord, Lord. Drink a little beer that evening, sing a little bit of these working man blues. Here come a working man. Especially for all the working men here this year.